Nung Tian's DIY Guide to Successful Cohabitation by Erlele. Narrated by Rhea314. Fandom, A Tale of Thousand Stars. Pairing, Tian Sopa Sitsukun, Pu Pa Wiryanun. "Hey, Tian," called Pu Pa as he stepped into the communal kitchen. A lantern swung from his hand, the metal creaking with every sway. "Can you give me the—" He broke off, turning to frown at Rang and Yod, who were sitting on the far bench, heads together, snickering. "What's with you two?" "Nothing, nothing," Yod wheezed, waving him away. "Squeak, squeak, creak." "Here, give me that," said Tian. He appeared from behind the other side of the wall, brushing dirt off his jeans, and holding a new bottle of soap, which he placed on the table. Once he was no longer encumbered, Pu Pa held out the lantern. The entire contraption shuddered as Tian took it, the kerosene flame flickering. Tian gave it a dubious look. "Can we oil this?" he mused, shaking it a little. Squeak, squeak, squeak. The old one wasn't this noisy. At the other end of the table, Yod and Rang were catapulted into a new range of hysterics. "That's not the only thing needing oil," Yod cackled, thumping poor Rang on the shoulder. For his part, Rang was clearly trying to stifle his laughter by stuffing his entire fist into his mouth. He was not doing a very good job. Pu Pa narrowed his eyes. "All right, that's it," he snapped. Just as Dr. Nam rounded the corner. "What is it?" he asked, glancing between the thunderous look on Pu Pa's face and the barely cowed Yod and Rang on the far bench. In response, Tian, mystified, held up the lantern with a shrug. "Squeak, squeak, squeak." Rang choked, then tried to cover it up with a cough. "Huh," Dr. Nam said, tilting his head. "Funny. That squeaky lantern sounds just like your bed, doesn't it, Pu?"
"Nam?"
Pu Pa sputtered, as Tian nearly dropped a lantern. Pu Pa sent him a swift look of concern, but Tian didn't notice, too busy closing his eyes and wishing he could sink straight into the ground. "What?" Dr. Nam said blithely, walking the rest of the way into the kitchen to snag a cup. He plucked the lantern out of Tian's lax grip and set it on the table before peering into the pot on the stove. "Nong Tian, is that hot water?" Not really wanting to look Dr. Nam in the eye just then, Tian wordlessly reached out, grabbed the pot, and handed it over. Dr. Nam hummed in appreciation as he poured the water into his mug and dropped in a tea bag.
"Nam,"
Pu Pa growled. He scowled at him in betrayal when Dr. Nam just clapped him on the shoulder. "Maybe we can pick up something in town to fix the problem," he said, and sipped his tea very serenely on his way past Pu Pa and out of the kitchen. Pu Pa, jaw working, shot a glance towards his two treacherous subordinates sitting at the table, only to find that Rang and Yod had also taken the opportunity to escape. The only sign they'd been there, the echo of their laughter. He let out a breath, shoulders slumping, and made his way over to Tian, who was standing between the stove and the table, staring at the ground.
"Tian,"
he said and touched his shoulder. Tian blinked up at him.
"There," he said. "Sorry, there. I'll talk to them."
Tian snorted. "Don't worry about it." Pu Pa gave him a look, his lips pressing together. Tian said, smirking, "You worried about me?"
"Constantly."
Pu Pa sighed, sounding very put upon, like all his anxieties about Tian were somehow Tian's fault. Tian wrinkled his nose, to which Pu Pa responded with a very pointed eyebrow. In turn, Tian leveled him with a look that said quite clearly that he was not at all sorry, and reached over to press down the collar of Pu Pa's shirt,
smoothing the fabric with his fingers. As he did so, Poopaw caught his hand and squeezed it, grazing the ring on Tien's finger. Tien's mouth quirked in a half-grin, and then he pushed Poopaw away. "Hey, Chief," he scolded. "I'm busy." He turned back towards the stove, indicating his rolled-up sleeves and the bottle of soap and the pot of water. "You're not," Poopaw informed him, and stepped in closer to tug him into a hug from behind. "I am." Ignoring the hug, he reached for the pot.
"The dishes are washed."
"They're still in the pot. Hey!" Tien yelped, when Poopaw pressed a quick, slobbery kiss to the side of his neck, then blew cold air over the wet spot.
"Leave it."
"Chief,
it's just water."
Tien let out a mock gasp, turning around across his arms, chin raised in a challenge.
"You've changed, Chief," he declared.
He jabbed Poopaw in the chest.
"What kind of irresponsible..."
he said, as Poopaw captured the hand that was poking him and used it to pull Tien bodily forward into a kiss. When Poopaw drew back, Tien let out a long, shaky breath.
"Hey, Chief,"
he said, even as he ignored Poopaw's hands, wandering down to snag him by the hips, fingers slipping between the gap of his shirt and pants, rubbing circles into the skin just over the jut of Tien's hip bone. "You can't bribe me like this. I'm a reputable young man."
"Okay,"
said Poopaw. Their eyes met, Poopaw's bright with intent. Tien couldn't help the slight shiver of anticipation that jolted up his spine at the familiar look.
"You're right."
"Wait.
I'll let you get back to your pot of water."
Poopaw smiled, letting go and stepping away, hands linked respectfully behind his back. His expression was mild, gaze focused off to the middle distance, but Tien didn't need to search too hard to recognize the tiny tremble in his lips and the glint in his eyes, familiar signs that Poopaw thought he was being very funny indeed. Tien found himself hit by a bizarre combative need to both knee his chief in the groin and also kiss him. He settled for kicking Poopaw lightly in the shin, rolling his eyes when Poopaw gave him an incredibly fake, injured look, and wrapped his hand around Poopaw's wrist.
"Don't look so proud of yourself,"
he muttered, and towed him out of the kitchen towards Poopaw's quarters to finish what they'd started. The following morning, Tien, feeling very sore and moving a bit more delicately than usual, opened the door only to trip over the can of WD-40 someone had left just outside the threshold. He swore, catching himself on the doorframe, and scowled down at the offending canister.
"I'll kill them,"
he muttered, even as he reached down and picked it up anyway. There was a sticky note attached, but no writing, just a passably fair drawing of a thumbs up, a smiley face, and something very crude featuring two stick figures. One of the stick figures was wearing a beret. That narrowed down the list of potential suspects, Tien thought, crumpling the note in his fist and wondering if he should put the can somewhere out of sight or leave it alone on the doorstep so he could watch Poopaw get all huffy about it. Only Dr. Nam could halfway decently draw anything anatomical. The problem, Tien thought, as he turned to go back inside and found himself facing the rumpled bed that he'd been sharing with Poopaw for the past 4 months, was that even if the teasing was annoying, it wasn't exactly wrong. The bed was a problem. The liberal application of WD-40 to the bed did have some effect, Tien determined the next night, but it wasn't enough. As it turned out, he could only apply it to outside the frame, and could do nothing at all to reach the springs on the inside of the mattress itself. Also, the inside of Poopaw's room now smelled like a garage, despite the vanilla masking scent. To combat this new problem, Tien left the door open in hopes that the room would air out. Poopaw was not pleased to discover, upon his arrival at home, a room that, one, still smelled faintly of oil, and, two, was now full of mosquitoes. more drastic measures would have to be taken. In his efforts to solve the issue, Tian carefully considered all his remaining options, and then went with the least terrible one. The first step of which involved lurking around the jeep until Yod came by on his daily rounds to inspect it. As Yod popped open his toolbox, Tian leaned casually over the hood of the jeep and asked, again very casually, if he had a measuring tape.
"What for?"
said Yod, as he recovered from jumping up in surprise at Tian's unexpected appearance and banging his head against the side mirror. Still rubbing his ear, he nevertheless rooted around in his toolbox and produced a measuring tape. Said Tian, mentally rearranging all his lesson plans for the week to add in something about measuring tapes. "Teaching." Yod nodded like he had expected this answer. "There's a hardware store in Chiang Mai that sells miniatures," he offered, "if you need more than one." "Oh?" said Tian, trying to sound a normal and professional level of interested and not like this particular information was exactly what he needed for something else entirely. "A hardware store."
"Uh-huh."
Yod smacked the side of the jeep, frowning. Tian said, "Next time you go into town, can you take me?" Yod turned to blink at him, wrench still in hand.
"I could just pick them up for you."
"No, no," Tian said hastily. "I'm still working on the lesson plan. I want to look around, because, maybe there's something else that I haven't thought of that would be good, too." Yod gave him a quizzical look. "Sure," he said after another moment. "If you want." "Definitely," said Tian, trying not to sound too eager. He glanced down at the tape measure that Yod had given him. "When do you need this back?" Yod shrugged. "Whenever," he smiled. "I don't mind if the kids use it for a bit." "Uh-huh," said Tian. "The kids, definitely." The frame of Pupa's bed turned out to be 134.5 centimeters on the width and 190.5 centimeters on the length. This was unfortunate, Tian thought, because the new mattress he'd bookmarked to order was quite a bit larger, which meant that instead of just once again dousing the entire metal bed frame in WD-40 and hoping for the best with a new mattress like he'd originally planned, Tian was going to have to start from scratch. Technically, Tian knew he could just buy a new bed frame. Hell, with his family's connections, he was pretty sure he could buy an entire matching bedroom set and have it all delivered straight to the ranger station within 24 hours. However, Tian also knew that as nice and comfortable as a matching bedroom set might be to sleep on, the person he planned to share it with might take issue at the reminder of his and Tian's vast difference in terms of liquid assets. Tian didn't think that Pupa would turn it down, exactly. He'd just do that chief thing where he'd go quiet and maybe sigh and look off into the distance, muttering about mere mortals reaching for the stars and youth wasting their potential, until Tian threatened to do something terrible, like drag him to the family home in Bangkok and force him to attend one of Tian's mother's parties in full dress uniform. But Tian really wanted that mattress. So he figured, if he put some effort into making the bed frame, then hopefully Pupa would be too overwhelmed and impressed with Tian's initiative to make them a bed with his own two hands, romance achieved, to think too hard about the price tag connected with the accompanying new mattress. A foolproof plan, really. Tian had completed 2 years of school as an engineering student, which wasn't enough to make him an engineer, but was certainly enough to teach him a few basic tricks. The first being, in order to do something well, one must have the correct tools. And Tian wanted to do well. He did. Handmade gifts for Pupa aside, the only thing more embarrassing than the entire ranger crew making fun of them because of a squeaky bed was Dr. Nam making fun of them for the next eternity because the bed that Tian had made had collapsed beneath them, likely resulting in some regrettable injuries. But the tools. "Hey, Yod," Tian said, peering around the corner to the kitchen and spying his quarry eating a bowl of noodles in blissful ignorance. "Do you have..." He took a quick peek at the list he'd put together at an internet cafe in Chiang Mai the day before. "A saw?" Yod said, looking nonplussed. "I think so." "Cool, cool," Tian muttered, making a little note. He tapped his pencil on the paper, then glanced up again. "What about an electric drill?" Yeah, I wasn't sure about that one. He made another note. "A machete?" He watched with great interest as Yod spat out a mouthful of noodles. "Tian," Yod said, looking faintly alarmed. "Why?" "The children and I," said Tian, who'd already considered the best way to approach this problem, "are putting together a surprise for Chief Pupa." He endured the squint that Yod sent him. "So you can't tell him," he added quickly, crossing his arms, "because it's a surprise." "Why does a surprise need a machete?" asked Yod. It sounded more like a prayer than a question. "Oh," Tian said, leaning against the table, examining his nails, all extremely casual. "It's for the bamboo." "The bamboo?" Tian nodded solemnly. "The bamboo." Yod frowned. "You know, we could just..." "No, no," Tian interrupted. "It's a surprise, remember? The chief can't know about it yet. I just need to cut some bamboo, that's all, really." He smiled winsomely. "Please?" Yod sighed. He then insisted on accompanying Tian, machete in tow, which Tian initially protested and then reconsidered when he realized what a pain in the ass it was going to be to first cut down and then carry several pieces of bamboo by himself. So he paced obediently after Yod and listened attentively as Yod brought him to the side of the road, near Pa Pundao and outside the forest preserve, and indicated where no one would care if he cut, before demonstrating the most efficient way to swing a machete, cutting down several oversized canes. He would probably need to go back, Tian thought, as they trudged back to Pa Pundao to deposit their burden in the teacher's house, which Tian figured was the best place to hide several pieces of bamboo, as well as assemble a bed frame, in relative secret. But it was a start. It took several more minutes of wheedling to cajole Yod into actually leaving the machete with Tian, until Tian promised that he was only going to use it to strip the green off the bamboo and would give it back as soon as he was done. It was a fine art, Tian knew, a balancing act between Yod's fear of Chief Pupa's disappointment for not giving upstanding village teacher Tian every aid he asked for, versus Yod's fear of Chief Pupa's disappointment for leaving Pupa's city boyfriend Tian together with what amounted to a deadly weapon and no supervision. In the end, however, Yod was no match for Tian's devastating combination of well-placed flattery and a subtle suggestion that, by the transitive property, Tian was basically Yod's boss-in-law. Yod, though still looking uncertain, left Tian and the machete to it. That evening, as Tian finished smearing cream all over his face and surreptitiously picking splinters out of his fingers, Pupa, standing at Tian's back in front of the vanity, tracing his fingers across Tian's bare shoulders, sent him a look in the mirror that was half fond and half exasperated, and asked him if he'd been bullying Yod lately. "No," Tian lied, and reached behind himself to give Pupa's hair a tug. "He's just helping me with something for the kids."
"For the kids, huh?"
Pupa gave him a sideways look.
"Do you want my help?"
Tian stuck out his tongue at the mirror.
No.
Tian, Fufa said, snuffling along the back of Tian's neck. Tian's shoulders scrunched up on instinct, and he turned around to lay a palm flat on Fufa's bare chest. He took an extra moment to appreciate the firmness of the muscle, then gave him a shove. Fufa did not stumble, of course, because he was a tree. But he did sway, and that was enough to give Tian the space to stand up and crowd right into him. Tian grinned at him.
You can help me with something else, he informed him,
and walked a bemused Fufa backwards in the direction of the bed. This time, when the shove came, it was much more effective. The mattress bounced, dipped, and then creaked noisily beneath Fupa's weight. They both stilled. Fupa's mouth crooked up in a sheepish smile.
It is kind of loud, he admitted. We don't have to.
Tian squinted at him, eyebrow raised, pants half unzipped.
Oh.
Fupa's jaw clicked shut, his ears flushing.
Uh-huh,
Tian said, swinging his leg over Fupa's lap to straddle him.
That's what I thought.
Fupa put his hands on Tian's hips, breath hitching as Tian's weight came to rest down onto him. Beneath them, the bed creaked again. This time, they ignored it. Later, much later, the sweat long past cooled on their bodies. Fupa said quietly into the darkness,
Hey, Tian.
Hmm? Tian flopped over and rearranged the placement of his arm over Fupa's chest. He liked the way he could feel the rise and fall beneath his fingertips.
Yeah?
Fupa's hand found his and gave it a squeeze.
Next Tuesday, I'll be gone overnight to lead some training exercises. They should be finished by Wednesday.
Tian sat up. Gone? He repeated. He turned toward Fupa.
You mean as in gone, as in you won't be here? That's usually what gone means,
Fupa said, sitting up as well.
Is something wrong?
No, Tian said too quickly, already mentally rearranging his whole build and delivery schedule to take advantage of this surprise opportunity. Fupa made a skeptical noise, and Tian added, trying to sound a little more normal and a little less manic.
I mean, I'll just, you know, miss you.
It wasn't a lie, of course, he'd miss Fupa. But all the same, sometimes sacrifices needed to be made for the greater good. Or, more specifically, sometimes sacrifices needed to be made in order to build an entire bed frame out of bamboo in a 36-hour period in Poopa's room without Poopa noticing.
Hmm,
Poopa said, mollified. He poked Tian on the cheek.
You think you can stay out of trouble for that long, huh, Teacher Sitian?
Chief, Tian complained, and turned his head to bite at the offending finger. Fupa snorted and proceeded to cover Tian's entire mouth with one large hand.
Stay out of trouble, he repeated sternly into Tian's ear.
Tian licked his palm.
Tian, you're not my boss,
Tian yelped as he twisted around, muscling up the covers in an attempt to avoid Fupa's headlock. He stilled, breathing hard, as Fupa managed to pin first one wrist, then the other, pressing Tian back into the mattress. It squeaked, of course. They both ignored it. He loomed over Tian, who could just about make out the contours of his face in the darkness.
What are you thinking of doing, huh, Chief?
He said, even as his heart rate sped up reflexively at Fupa's nearness, their positions, and the familiar scent of him.
Trying to keep you out of trouble,
Fupa rumbled, leaning down to press his lips against Tian's. Tian, despite his rhetoric, opened up to him immediately. Fupa's hold on his wrists loosening as they kissed, Tian managed to slide one wrist free. He reached up to bury his fingers into Pupa's hair, tugging at the short strands and squirming out from under him to end up back on top. When they finally separated, Tien brushed the back of his hand down Pupa's cheek, forearm resting against Pupa's chest, and breathed.
You'll have to do better than that.
There was a moment of affronted pause, and then...
Disobedient, too.
Pupa sighed, as he wrapped his arms around Tien and rolled him over to deal with him properly.
Typical.
The set of four YouTube videos lived permanently in a secret file on Tien's phone. Of the four, Tien thought that the bed frame constructed in the second video was his best option. It looked like the sturdiest, with several legs and simple fitted pieces framing a visually pleasing backboard. It also looked like he could modify it to be slightly bigger without compromising its structural integrity, which was the ultimate point of this exercise. It was this decision that left Tien with several large bamboo poles splayed haphazardly around the teacher's house, all with holes of carefully measured circumference drilled at carefully measured distances from one another. The electric drill, which Tien had after much discussion with the guy at the hardware store, dipped into his trust fund and bought outright, sat in place of pride next to the handsaw that Tien was halfway considering replacing for Yod as a thank you, and also to keep Yod from one day showing up to the infirmary with tetanus. It was also this decision that had, regrettably, resulted in leaving Tien with exactly half the screws that he needed. Tien glowered at the empty package, like it might miraculously fill itself again, a mythical plastic cauldron of building supplies. It did not. Across the room, Longte yelped as he tripped over a stray pile of uneven slats. Tien sighed. He needed to get to town, he explained to a sympathetic, if still somewhat confused and still wobbling, Longte. But he'd planned himself into a corner, with the jeep and most of the rangers already gone on Pupa's training exercises. By the time they got back... Longte, now picking his way around the piles of Tien's first several attempts to drill a hole into a piece of bamboo without splintering it into 7,000 splinters all aimed for Tien's face, said, very kindly and also sincerely, "You can't go tomorrow." Tien gave him a look that said, quite clearly, "What part of today don't you understand?" Said Longte. He sat down cross-legged next to Tien, wincing as a stray dowel poked him in the thigh. He removed the dowel. "Could you take something apart and use the screws from that?" "But what?" Tien started. And then he stilled. He turned toward Longte, eyes wide. "Longte," he said. "Longte, Longte!" "Oh, no," said Longte, who, despite his country upbringing, after 3 years in university, had begun to come to terms with the wiles of city people. "Are you going to ask me to distract Yod while you steal more sandpaper? I told you I wouldn't do that again. That's so mean, Tien." "That was just the one time," Tien said, dignified. "And I replaced it." "I don't think Yod trusts me anymore," Longte continued mournfully. Tien rolled his eyes. "I just need you to help me carry this." Tien indicated the half-completed bed frame. At this point, it looked like a stiff breeze could knock it over. "I need to take it back to Pupa's room." Longte frowned. "Are there more screws in there? Why don't you just bring them here?" "No, no," Tien said. "It's just for the slats, anyway. Let's just make the frame in there. I'm sure this will work." When Pupa arrived home the next afternoon, sandy-eyed, dirty, and sore, his primary focus was on coming up with the best way to convince Tien to give him a long and thorough back rub. It wasn't entirely without precedent, he thought. He'd just have to play his cards right. If he outright asked for one, Tien might say no just to be contrary. But if Pupa perhaps added a bit of a hunch, maybe rotated his shoulders with a well-placed wince. Pupa's perspective and fake look of pain rapidly turned into a very real grimace as the toe of his boot caught on something sturdy and dense right outside his door, causing him to trip and smash straight into the compound wall.
"Ow,"
he said, feelingly. After taking a moment to collect himself and shake out his hands, which had taken the brunt of the crash. Nothing broken, but his palms smarted. Nostrils flaring, he pivoted to see what kind of trap he'd stumbled upon, and blinked in surprise to find what looked like nothing more than a pile of scrap metal thrown about the threshold. The color of the metal looked a little familiar. Pupa shut his eyes, then opened them again. The situation remained unchanged.
Chief!
At Tien's familiar voice, Pupa turned away from the pile to eye him instead. To his surprise, Tien looked... there was really no other word for it. Somewhat more unkempt than usual. His hair was mussed. There was a rip in the side of his shirt, a smear of something black and oily down his forearm, and a white bandage wrapped around his wrist. A wrench dangled in his left hand. Something below Pupa's breastbone fluttered in warm and familiar fondness, and he knew, even without the damning pile of scrap metal at his feet, that Tien had absolutely not stayed out of trouble in his absence. Tien said, gaze dipping guiltily toward the pile of scraps.
I was going to move that. Sorry.
Tien, Pupa sighed. His gaze drifted towards the door.
What did you do?
Nothing, Tien exclaimed, defensive, then blinked. Wait, no. He frowned at Pupa. It's a surprise. Go away.
Tien, Pupa said, catching Tien's hands on his waist as Tien tried to push him away from the door.
No, it's not done. I'm still waiting on a delivery and they're late.
Enough of this, Pupa huffed and picked him up, ignoring Tien's squawk of indignation.
Come on, Tien, he said,
as he ducked inside, taking care not to bash Tien's head against the doorframe.
I need to take a...
He cut off, freezing as he finally caught sight of what was inside. Still in his hold, Tien crossed his arms. Pupa stared for a long moment, then cleared his throat.
What happened to the bed?
To be fair, there was a bed in there. But Pupa was 99% sure it wasn't the one he'd last slept in. For one, it was larger, too large for the old mattress, which Pupa could see had been leaned haphazardly against the far wall. For another, the new bed was made out of bamboo, the construction like something he'd seen in swanky villas for tourists by the sea. Nothing at all like his former metal and bolt regulation cot. And finally, there were several bits of what looked like splinters of more bamboo, along with tools that Pupa knew for a fact that Yod didn't own, and more than a few nails rolled lazily across the floor. The old one, Tien sniffed. He was no longer struggling to get down. He waved his hand dismissively. It's outside.
Ah.
A few things slotted into place. Pupa was a little afraid to ask the next, most obvious question.
Why is it in pieces?
Tien shrugged. I needed the screws.
You...
Pupa tightened his grip. He stopped staring at the bed in order to stare at Tien instead.
You needed the screws.
Yeah, I ran out.
You ran out?
Yeah.
Of screws.
Chief, said Tian, exasperated. He gave Pupa an admonishing tap on the cheek. Focus, yes. I needed them to finish putting the bed together.
Putting the bed together?
Yeah, putting it together.
The bed?
Are you even listening to me? Yeah, the bed. I put it together. I made it.
You made that?
What? Said Tian, punching the only part of Pupa he could reach, which happened to be Pupa's left pectoral. Pupa didn't even flinch.
What part of this is so hard for you? You don't like it?
Pupa sucked in a breath.
I do like it, he said.
Tian was looking at him, a small smile now fluttering at the corner of his lips.
I do like it, he said, more firmly this time.
Tian's smile grew. He looked so pleased with himself, Pupa thought. He'd made a whole bed. Tian. What trouble. Pupa bent down to kiss the smile off Tian's face. Tian made a noise of satisfaction, curling into him. When they separated, his arms finally starting to ache, Pupa let Tian's feet drop back down to the floor. Rather than drifting away, Tian leaned into him. He smelled a little bit like sawdust.
And we're getting a new mattress, Tian informed him. The other one's too small, as you can see. I see,
Pupa agreed, as Tian slid his hand into Pupa's and tugged him over to sit on the edge of the new bed frame. When he sat, it was noiseless. He ran an experimental palm along the smoothed wood.
You made this,
he couldn't help repeating, and winced when Tian smacked him in the arm.
Keep saying it like that and you won't get to sleep on it.
Sorry. Pupa couldn't stop touching it. It was so smooth.
You even sanded it down.
Chief.
Sorry.
Pupa leaned over and kissed him on the cheek. Tian turned his head to blink at him in surprise.
It's really nice, he said, something raw and honest twinging in his chest. It didn't feel like enough. Tian had made this. Tian had made this for him. For them. Thank you.
Tian's face flooded with pink. Chief, he groaned, and hid his face in Pupa's shoulder. After 6 weeks of a new bed and a new mattress, Pupa was starting to suspect that his previously ever-present lower back pain had not been a symptom of slowly encroaching old age and death, but rather something more material. He rolled over, luxuriating in the give of a mattress he absolutely did not want to know the price tag to, and patted the space next to him for a familiar warm body. When all he encountered was empty blankets, Pupa frowned, cracking open one eye. Today was his day off. It was Tian's day off. He was here in bed, like he was supposed to be. Where was Tian? A familiar alarmed shout from outside sent a massive shot of adrenaline rushing through him head to toe. He was up and out of the room in an instant, skidding to a halt on bare feet just next to the shower stall on the lee side of the building. Tian, he said, spotting his erstwhile boyfriend.
Tian, what?
Tian bent over next to the door to the stall, straightened. Oh, he said, looking a bit contrite at whatever raw panic was visible on Pupa's face. Sorry, did I wake you? Pupa shut his eyes, willing his heartbeat to slow.
You,
he said. He took a deep breath.
Why are you all wet?
He said instead. It was a fair question. Tian looked like he'd been dunked into the river. Oh, Tian said, brightening. He brushed wet bangs out of his eyes and reached into his pocket
to produce a slightly damp set of papers, waving them in Poupa's face. They looked ominously like more blueprints. Poupa was starting to become distressingly familiar with blueprints. I thought I'd make a shower. Poupa gave him a dubious look.
A shower?
He frowned. What was wrong with the system they had? It was a pretty good system. It got him pretty clean. Tien had never complained before. No, see? Said Tien, grabbing him by the elbow and hauling him around to the other side of the stall. There was a new shelf where there had not previously been a shelf, some sort of plastic bin with a hose leading out of it. We can fill up the tank here, just like the bath, and let the water warm up while it sits in the sun during the day, right? Then, when you come home, he indicated the line of tubing leading from the tank up the wall. See, with the water pressure right, it'll come through here and then, ta-da, shower. He beamed.
Where did you come up with this?
Poupa asked, to distract from the fact that he still wasn't sure if he was experiencing a fever dream or not. Tien lifted his shoulders. I just thought it was a good idea, he said. He looked up at Poupa from underneath his eyelashes, water still clinging to them. Poupa's breath caught in his throat.
Don't you like showers?
Poupa held onto the stall wall for physical and also emotional grounding.
I do like showers, he said, because that was a fact.
With you in them, he did not add, because he wanted to stay on topic.
But Tien...
Okay, good, Tien said decisively. You can help me test it then. This one's just the prototype anyway.
Prototype?
Uh-huh. Tien tapped it considering, then shook his head. Still needs work. He gestured to himself, or rather, to his soaked clothes, wryly. They were clinging to him, Poupa noticed. They were clinging to him very well. I thought it would make a good lesson for the kids, too. Physics of water and pressure, right? Poupa, despite standing in front of his own home with his boyfriend who had just... What was it? Built him a shower? Was starting to feel like he was rapidly losing control of a situation that he still did not entirely understand in the first place. It was all he could do to nod. Were the kids on physics already? He knew kids grew fast, but that seemed excessive. Beneath his wet shirt, the outline of Tien's nipple was clearly pebbled. Poupa swallowed. Anyway, said Tien, I was just testing it out. I'll finish it later. I have to work on the chair.
The what? Said Poupa.
Oh, said Tien. He scratched the back of his neck, sheepish. I cut too much bamboo when I made the bed frame, had a lot left over, so... He shrugged, now squeezing the water out of his shirt. I didn't want to waste it. It wasn't a bad idea, Poupa thought, as he and Tien headed back inside, Tien shedding wet clothes as he went. Poupa scanned the interior of the room, gaze alighting on the opposite wall. He tilted his head. A chair could go there, he thought. Or... over there, too. Hey, Chief. Shaken out of his reverie, Poupa glanced over, only to find Tien standing directly in front of him. His shirt was gone, the surgery scar still stark for all its faded color, jagged across his chest. He said, and dragged his eyes back to Tien's face, where his mouth curved, laughing. Hello, Tien. Maybe the chair can wait, Tien said. And that was all the go-ahead that Poupa needed. It was only a week later, with no chair having appeared, and Poupa having filed the entire thing away as a project that Tien had considered, and then since discarded, that he'd discovered that the whole chair thing had not just been an offhand comment.
That looks new.
Poupa said, eyeing the bamboo contraption that Kumma's wife was sitting in as she peeled vegetables to drop into the large pot on the ground by her side. It had wide arms and a slanted back, and a small cushion placed where the small of her back would rest. The construction looked somewhat familiar. A bit rough around the edges, maybe, but sturdy. Reliable.
"You've got a good boy there now, Chief," Kumma told him with a laugh, coming out from around the side of the house. "He came back from America with so many new skills."
Said Poopa, still focused on the chair. It looked pretty comfortable.
"He did."
Kumma leaned up into his face, resting a hand on his forearm.
"You should marry him," he said, full of the confidence of a married man. "Maybe then he'll build you a nice house."
Poopa choked, tripping over his own boots as he backed away.
"That's..."
"Oh, hey, Chief." Speak of the devil, Poopa turned to see Tien holding a rather incriminating bundle of bamboo walking towards him. The muscles of his arms flexed as he adjusted his grip. A strip of leather hooked around his waist, a hammer stuck into it. Poopa swallowed.
"Tien,"
he managed.
"Did you see the chair I made?"
Tien carelessly dropped the bamboo on the ground in order to circle the chair in question, like Poopa might have been confused which piece of furniture he was talking about.
"It's," said Poopa. "You made this?"
Tien kicked Poopa's foot. "Rude," he said, and crossed his arms. "Of course I did." Poopa said, wincing a little and then smiling, now in familiar territory.
"Where's mine?"
He received a scowl in return, and then a light elbow to the gut. "The next one's for Intha's grandma," Tien said primly. He pushed Poopa away, bending over to pick up the bamboo he'd dropped. Poopa's gaze followed down the contour of Tien's spine and backside. He bit his lip as Tien straightened. "Her back's been killing her lately."
"Oh,"
said Poopa, very intelligently, as Tien, with a wave, pivoted on his heel. "If you don't marry him," said the woman, luxuriating in the chair, still peeling vegetables as Tien strode off and Poopa watched him go, "I will." It soon became clear that, on average, Poopa could expect to see a new chair appear somewhere in the village about once every 2 weeks. There was the one at Kama's, of course. Then Intha's grandma. Then Oi and Miju's parents had a matching set. Nam.
"Uh-huh,"
said Dr. Nam, sitting in his own bamboo chair.
"And it is very comfortable, thank you."
Poopa gave him a sad look, helped along by the 5 empty beers on the table in front of him. Dr. Nam shook his head.
"Poo," he said firmly this time. "Tien's made you a bed and a shower. Didn't he make you a stool too, a little one?"
"It's an ottoman,"
Poopa corrected, Dr. Nam giving him a disbelieving look.
"Okay, so he made you all that. He obviously likes you best. So what if he hasn't made you a chair?"
Poopa wrinkled his nose.
"But," he said, just north of whiny, "they look really comfortable."
Dr. Nam stared at him for a moment, then pinched the bridge of his nose.
"Unbelievable," he muttered.
He raised his voice.
"Nong Tien. Hey, Nong Tien."
A moment later, then.
"Yeah?"
Tien asked, shuffling into view. He huffed out a laugh as he caught sight of Poopa slumped over the table.
"Should I take him back?"
He came forward the rest of the way into the light and rested his hand against Bupa's back. Are you bothering Dr. Nam, huh, Chief?
No,
Bupa muttered rebelliously. This man, Dr. Nam said, giving Bupa a thoroughly unimpressed look, is very stupid. He raised an eyebrow at Tien. You sure you want this one?
Nam,
Bupa protested, pushing himself away from the table to sit in some way vaguely resembling upright and sounding very betrayed. Tien laughed. He's all right. Tien, Bupa complained. Tien snickered. Come on. His hand slid up to gently squeeze the back of Pupa's neck, then tugged on his hair. Time for bed. And make him drink water, Dr. Nam ordered, as Tien hauled Bupa off the bench and began to drag him to the other end of the compound.
I don't want to go to bed,
Bupa said, even as he allowed Tien to lead him away.
I want a chair.
You have a chair, Tien said absently. He grunted. You're really heavy, you know, green giant.
You have nice arms,
Bupa informed him, and demonstrated his appreciation by groping Tien's bicep. Tien batted him away as they tilted dangerously.
I like your butt.
Bupa, Tien said, strangled. Keep your voice down. He huffed as Bupa gave him a sloppy, beer-smelling apology kiss on the cheek. How much did you have to drink? He sighed, as Bupa made a contented noise and stuck his nose in the juncture between Tien's neck and shoulder.
Not that much, said Bupa, the absolute liar. Can I have a kiss?
No, Tien said firmly, as he pulled Bupa inside their room and dropped him gratefully onto the bed. He paused for a moment, breathing hard, and then helped Bupa lie flat, manipulating his limbs so he wouldn't wake up contorted and regretting existence. Bupa looked up at him, eyes wide and glistening. Tien sighed. Fine, he grumped, and leaned forward to place a kiss on Pupa's forehead, and then another one on his lips. Bupa smiled, drunk and soft. He inhaled.
I like you best, he told Tien, who couldn't help a small smile himself.
He slid a hand through Pupa's hair, scratching his scalp the way he knew Bupa liked best.
I like you a lot, too. And I like your mouth, too,
Bupa continued.
And your butt, and your...
Okay, that's enough. Tien said, getting up from the bed. Come on, Chief. He held out a water bottle and unscrewed the top. Drink some water and go to sleep.
But I want a chair.
Tien blew out the corner of his mouth. If I promise to give you a chair, he said, with an air of infinite patience, will you drink this water and go to sleep? Bupa took a moment to think about it. Finally, he said,
Yeah. Okay.
And held out his hand for the water. Tien watched as he drank it down, then closed his eyes, snuggling back into the mattress.
And you say I'm trouble,
Tien murmured, and brushed the back of his hand down Pupa's face, resting it for a moment on Pupa's flushed cheek.
Honestly.
When Bupa woke up the next morning, it was to sunlight and a deeply regretful taste in his mouth. He turned his head with a groan and spotted a half-full water bottle standing on the bedside table, technically Tien's ottoman, with two red pills next to it. He swallowed them gratefully, then flopped back, staring up at the ceiling. Tien wasn't in bed, and Bupa couldn't hear anyone moving around outside. He exhaled, trying to gather the will to stand, and slowly sat up.
His stomach gurgled, but he ignored it, slipping his feet into a pair of sandals, too small, must be Tian's, and stumbling towards the door to go wash his face, using Tian's shower, or maybe just drown himself. "Hey, Chief," Tian said casually as Pupa opened the door, causing him to come to an abrupt halt just outside the threshold and turn in surprise. "I thought you were going to sleep all day." "Tian," he started, but at the sight before him, the rest of Hupa's question died in his throat. From his perch on what was rapidly becoming a distinctively recognizable style of bamboo furniture, Tian grinned at him. It wasn't a chair, not really, more of a very short couch, with a bit of a curve to the back. It was just the size, Pupa noticed, for two people to sit side by side so long as they didn't mind touching. Pupa did not mind touching. "Try it out," Tian said, patting the seat next to him. Pupa stumbled forward and dropped down heavily onto it. It creaked slightly, but held. The line of Tian's body was warm against his. Tian said, "I know you wanted a chair." "I," said Pupa, feeling caught. He flushed. "I wanted to make it nice," Tian said. "For us." "For the two of us," Tian did not say. "Together," he did not say. But Pupa heard it clearly as the morning sky. He exhaled shakily, feeling something squeeze tight, tighter in his chest, a warmth infusing every cell of him. "I like it," he said, and, more softly, "I love it." "Oh," said Tian, quiet, then, "Good. I got a lot of splinters." "I'll help you pick them out," Pupa promised. He wrapped an arm around Tian's shoulders, humming as Tian leaned against him. Pupa shut his eyes. He took a deep breath, reveling in the thrum of Tian beside him, the cool stretch of bamboo beneath them, the birds above, the wind in the trees, the faint voices of villagers going about their days. Pupa smiled. "So," he said, fingers curling down to catch Tian's hand. "What are you making next?" Said Tian, sleepy and warm and entirely too full of mischief. "I was thinking about a water wheel." Pupa sighed. The end. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening. And happy ITPE, Night Tracer. I was very excited to see that you had listed Thousand Stars as one of the small fandoms that you might be excited to receive Podfic for ITPE this year. So hopefully you've enjoyed this. I think this is a very cute story, and I love Tian doing the work of creating things and using his skills to share those with the village. So hopefully you like this as much as I do, and have a wonderful ITPE. Thanks.